Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am doing so well because I am about, at the very least 10 years out from ever having to worry about a final exam. And my life is so much better now that I don't even have to think about that type of stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. We predicted, you know, when we heard this episode was going to be titled Finally, we were like, okay, it probably is too soon for Felicity to be having sex, but like, oh, finally her and Nola get together. Finally this, finally that. No, it's just freaking finals week, which I gotta say, I didn't need the secondhand anxiety of finals week, you know, because I remember that time and how stressful it was, especially the little countdown timer. It's like, oh, 36 hours till finals, 30 hours. It's like, all right. I get it already. It was almost finals.
It's very the show 24, where there's a constant clock on the horizon.
Yeah. Who needs that? I don't need that stress in my life, you know?
No. And I have such hot takes about libraries in general. And that's why we had to invite on our special guest today, Todd the Librarian. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing well. I would say the most triggering thing for me wasn't the finals. It was Felicity going, let's go to the stacks, and knowing why they were going to the stacks. That's the triggering thing for me.
Yeah, Todd is like, don't you desecrate my house of worship. Thank you very much.
I think that libraries are great places. I am a library patron. However, I think it is so annoying when people shush in the library, because I think, in my professional opinion, that shushing is more distracting than the actual whispers.
Okay, I will agree with you if you're not in a room that is specifically designated as a quiet room. If you are in a no-talking room, you should not be talking, and people should shush you to shame you for talking. Todd, where do you stand on this?
No, surprisingly, very little of my job has ever required me to shush anyone. It's a it's not as big a thing in libraries now as it once was. And plus, most libraries now will have like a quiet floor as opposed to the whole library being a quiet place. Public libraries might be a little bit different, but I think the idea of a library as this place that is just completely stone cold quiet all the time is a thing of the past.
I would say get over it. Like, literally just get over it.
Like, I also just feel like if I was really having to study really, really hard for a final, I would not go to a public place. Like, I would stay in my room to study because I would be so distracted by everyone around me.
Well, you could have a roommate that's like just a total heathen.
That's fair.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel as though I remember my days of going to the library in college, and it was like a party zone over there. We got full meals brought over. We had the coffee at the Starbucks. We were there until like 1 a.m. It was basically like a rager at the library.
Yeah, there's definitely been like whenever I first started working in libraries to now, there's been a big relaxation on the idea of food and drink and things in libraries. So when I first started working full-time in an academic library in Oklahoma, we would not be open 24 hours all the time, but during finals week, we would be open 24 hours, kind of like they mentioned on Felicity's episode. And I would, if you want to work like the 24-hour shift, you would get extra money. And so you would have to like put your name in for a lottery to get picked to be one of the lucky few who got to work that shift. So I got to work there a few times. But a big part of my job was just like walking up and down the floors, making sure people weren't eating food. That was like the big thing.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Todd, you're such a narc.
Is it because they would get like grease on the books? Like, what was the concern?
Yeah. I mean, basically, that was the idea is that, you know, if you people are just eating food in the stacks, they're going to be, let's be honest, college students don't necessarily clean up after themselves. And so, my favorite story of that, so that I'm like walking by this group of students, and one of them's like has just gotten this bag of chips out of his bag, getting ready to open it up. And I'm walking by, I'm like, hey guys, there's no food in the library. And they're like, oh, sorry, and they put it away. And I walk, and I'm just I'm barely out of sight, and I hear the bag open. And I went back, I'm like, guys, you could have waited until I left the floor. You know, you could wait until I was out of earshot before you did that. I mean, come on.
So then did you kick them out? Like, what's the repercussions of eating in the library?
I didn't kick him out. No, I just like, you know, I knew I was going to admonish them and I was going to leave and they were going to get the food out again. I mean, there's not a whole lot I could have done, really. I would have had to like called, you know, I could have asked them to leave. I would have had no real power. I would have had to call like, a security person to get them out. I definitely didn't want to do that. Really, just it was going on, just trying to keep people under control, make sure they weren't destroying things, weren't making messes, like just remind them, you know, hey, yeah, this is not your bedroom. This is not your dorm room. This is a place that needs to be like kept in reasonable shape.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that because we're spending the majority of this episode in the library. So it's perfect that you're here, Todd. But of course, we start off the episode with Felicity doing her little recordings to Sally, who may or may not be real. And she's like, okay, we kissed. Nolan and I kissed. But neither of us knew what it meant. And then we get this really awkward scene, Sarah, where like Noel and Felicity are just staring at each other for like a solid 20 seconds before either of them says anything.
Maybe they're doing a staring contest.
Are you good at staring contests, Sarah?
I think I was back in my heyday.
My eyes are really dry, so I think I suck at them.
I could probably beat you in a staring contest.
Yeah, well, we're not going to test that on the podcast because it sounds like terrible podcasting.
Yeah, that's definitely a visual medium. Actually, it's probably a medium for nobody, but they
I could do color commentary on it. I'm sure that would be.
Oh, thrilling. There we go. See, genius. That could work. Yeah, so they are, I don't know, like they're just like two little awkward kids in a room. I feel like they are just overthinking this to death because you don't really have to.
Yeah.
Establish what you are and what you're doing. Just enjoy.
Well, this is the millennial time though, right? Like this is what I think is very funny about going back and watching a show from the 90s is nowadays, and I'm gonna sound like such a like grandmother, but like it's like nowadays kids don't like DTR so quickly. It's kind of like you hang out, you go on some dates, you kiss a little bit, you do some library making out, you know. You don't necessarily need to like define the relationship immediately. But basically, that's what they're trying to do. They're like, we need to figure out what we are. And unfortunately, they get interrupted immediately by Noel's mom. It turns out Noel's uncle, Kenny, is in the hospital. They don't know if he's going to make it. One of the moments I almost died at, Todd, immediately out the gate was when he's like, oh, he has necrophilia. And Felicity's like, he sleeps with dead people?
know, who confuses narcolepsy and necrophilia? I mean, come on. Noel.
What a dingbat. And he got into NYU? Are you kidding me? So what happened? Uncle Kenny was driving and he hit a chicken truck. Truck with chickens.
Because he has narcolepsy. So he fell asleep while he was driving. He had a chicken truck and now he's in a coma.
Did anybody ask how the chickens were? Like, honestly, truly. Like, nobody
definitely
cares.
Not. No one cared about the chickens.
We just care about Uncle Kenny. It's a crime.
But Felicity is very quickly like, no, don't worry about me. Like, go figure this out. We'll figure it out once you get back. And Noel's like, okay, but like, don't leave while I'm gone. And this is where I started. Okay. Noel, I'm very hot and cold with. And mostly because Scott Foley is so good looking. Like, that's mostly the redeeming quality that he has for me, Todd. But I immediately get annoyed with him when he's so, like, desperate and, like, not controlling, but, like, a little too eager, where he's like, okay, don't move, which, okay, valid concerns with Felicity, I guess. And he says, don't transfer to a different college. Don't, what did she say? Don't forget your RA, who's me. And doesn't he also say something about, like, yeah, don't hook up with Ben while I'm gone? Sir? We haven't DTR'd yet.
Well, yeah. The don't hook up on Ben was like the only one that's like really unforgivable. Everything else is like, because everything up at that point is just kind of like goofy. Like, cause like the response is like,
don't
she's like,
forget me. How can like, I ever?
Yeah. Although she's like, I won't. She's like, oh, the correct answer is couldn't, but we'll accept that one. I liked it. It was like little flirty banter. That was all fine. And then he had like the don't hook up with Ben. And she's like, I won't. Like, okay, if it hasn't happened yet, Noel, it's not going to happen while you're gone. I mean, just chill.
It's one of those jokes that are not really a joke because it's something that you're insecure about. So he's making this joke that he's like, actually, like, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable that I'm leaving you here with, or no, that you're going off to California with Ben and I'm going to be here. So he's like clearly insecure about it. And he is just like, I don't know. Like, you know what they say? They say that like most jokes have
a bit
of truth in them. And I think that he's like genuinely a little worried that without his eyes on her, then she might like go back to liking Ben, which I don't think that she will. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe she will.
Well, we'll talk through it because they do have like a tiny moment, but yeah, I think for right now, I think she's pretty loyal to Noel at this point, but it turns out like they thought it was just going to be a couple of days. And then suddenly it's been a week and a half and he's been gone. And it's really interesting because this time Felicity is very self-assured, right? We just had the opposite, Sarah, where we talked about Felicity's freaking out. She's like, oh, what do you think it means? Like, Noel's been acting differently towards me because Hannah's here and blah, blah, blah. At this time, Julie's like, aren't you freaking out? And Felicity's like, nah, I'm fine.
I wonder if that's because she doesn't, like, she's not worried about him that he's, oh, no, I don't know.
He's not going to date someone else while he's visiting home dealing with a sick relative, you know?
Yeah, there's that. And then also, like, she already, like, he just left his girlfriend to be with her. Like, I think that she has, like, a lot of confidence in Noel's interest in her. So mm-hmm. I think that there's less for her to be anxious about. But also, I don't know. Like, I just think that a lot's changed for her in the last month.
I assume
it's been a month-ish. Yeah.
My big thing with the scene is, Julie, why are you encouraging Felicity to freak out? This is the first time in her entire college career Felicity is not freaking out about something. Let her be calm. Julie, come on.
I know. Sabotage. Julie's really ramping her up. She's like, but there are basic questions. Like, are you dating? And Felicity's like, I don't know. Can you see other people? What expectations do you guys have? And she's like, I don't know. And she's like, but what about being the rebound girl? And she's like, I'm not the rebound girl. And also, can I just say, now that we know what we know about the end of the episode, is Julie fishing? Is she like, hey, but are you allowed to see other people? Because like, maybe I want to hit Ben.
Yeah. I mean, like, I kind of like read that the same way, Jess, where it was like, I think that she was waiting until Felicity had interest, like total interest in somebody else. And then she was just like, okay, she is not interested in Ben. And she's dating Noel. This opens up the door for me again. And I think like asking those questions of like making sure that like the coast is clear, so to speak, is definitely like part of Julie's motivation in all of this.
Yeah. What do you think, Todd?
I hadn't even thought about that before. That's a really interesting idea, though. I don't know if that was necessarily forefront in Julie's mind, but I think it's probably might be like percolating underneath.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, obviously, there's also like the friend angle of like, oh, but I'm just curious, like, what's going on? Well, Noel crashes through the door. He's like carrying bags. He's sweating. He took the stairs because he was so impatient. And Julie, such a good friend. She's like, let me get out of your hair. I have things to do. I have books to read. And Noel's like super subtle. And she's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Go kiss. You're welcome.
Yeah. I know there are a couple of things that Noel does this episode that kind of annoy me. But overall, I really like Noel in this episode. I think his sense of humor is like really at the forefront throughout the whole episode. Like this whole exchange here. There, he's like, that wasn't real subtle, you know? And she's like, you're welcome. And then he just laughs, you know? But I think there's lots of little moments like that where he's like really funny and reminds me why back in the day when I first watched this, I was definitely team Noel over team Ben.
Yeah. I mean, the chemistry is there, right? Like they almost immediately kiss. They're like making out. It's like no time has passed at all. And Noel is just like, then he does again, like the thing that's great about them, Sarah, that we'll hear a lot this episode is that they do have like this very strong base of friendship to start with, right? Like Felicity says, Noel's like my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that you have experienced this in your relationship. I know that you've talked about it before, but, you like firmly believe that the best relationships start off as friends because there's a really good foundation there. There's trust already built. You know the person already. You don't have to do that whole like, what's your favorite color thing? And like, tell me about all your childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. Like you can just skip over that. And I think that having somebody that is like that you're close to, it's like, it's really nice to kind of skip ahead some of those steps that like are just part of like the dating rigmarole that you go through that could be like a little fatiguing, especially if you are constantly dating. And I think that it's probably like really, really nice for Felicity to finally feel like comfortable with somebody that she has interest in.
Yeah. And Todd, I don't think the nice thing about Noel is it's always been pretty clear how he feels about Felicity, you know, like he's going to, if she needs reassurance, he's your guy. He's going to give you the reassurance that he is into you.
Yeah, definitely. There is no ambiguity here. There may have been at one point in time, but at this point, there's no ambiguity. She doesn't have to worry or wonder. She doesn't have to obsess. What does this mean? Because he is very forthright in his feelings for her.
Yeah. And so he starts talking about how, like, you know, he just spent all this time like making funeral arrangements that didn't end up needing to go through because he's recovering. He's okay. And he hasn't spent any time studying. And of course, because he's an RA, he has like additional responsibilities. And so he has all of this work to do. And this is so relatable, though, where he's like, but all I want to do is like be around you. Cause it's like, it's a new relationship, Sarah. Like this is the honeymoon stage where they're like just getting to know each other. And all they want to do is just make out a little bit.
Wouldn't know anything about that. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's the beginning stages of a relationship is so exciting because you don't know where it's going. You don't know. It's just like all excitement. You're exploring each other's mind, body, and soul. So it's like, how can you not just be entranced in all of that? And pesky finals are certainly getting in the way. Like that seems really awful and annoying. So she, they're trying to make through it. Like, and apparently they can't even stay in the same room with each other without trying to make out with each other. So I think, like, ultimately at first they're like, okay, we need some distance.
Yeah, they're gonna spend 3 days apart. They have a pact. 3 days, they're gonna avoid each other, only study. Once finals are over, then they can, like, hang out, have a discussion. I think my problem with this plan, beyond the fact that they obviously will not be able to stay away from each other, is that, Todd, I feel like I would have unfinished business, right? I feel like I would feel much more settled if you DTR'd first, then maybe like a 10-minute makeout, then study for 3 days. Or maybe you give yourself a makeout allotment. Maybe you're like, 1 hour a day is makeout time, and the rest of the time I need to study. Right? Because the problem is, this is very much with, like, diet culture and stuff, and why most diets tend to, or, like, you know, changing your food habits tend to fail, is you cut out too many things too quickly. You got to ease into it. So give yourself a little bit of making out for the next 3 days.
I mean, their makeouts could be like their version of Elena's M&M system, you know?
Reward system, Todd. Yes, a reward system. Genius. Yes.
Yeah. But I do agree that, especially for Noel, because Noel's the one who's, like, super concerned about just defining the boundaries and figuring out what things are. I can't imagine that he's going to be able to focus on studying as long as this big unanswered question is floating out there. So I think it would have made, I think they could have, you know, defined the relationship and got, okay, this is what we are, and then studied, and things would have gone a lot more smoothly from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you believe in studying, Todd?
Kind of, sort of. I think it's definitely necessary. The thing with studying for me in college is I was a big crammer. Like, I would just, like, cram stuff. I would not start studying for my finals till, like, 24 hours beforehand. It'd be, like, almost next to impossible for me to make myself start studying until, like, almost time for the final. Then I would just cram study, and I would do great on the test, but then by the next day I would forget it all. So I think, like, long-term studying is better, trying to, like, actually learn the material. But this, like, cramming studying, it's going to get you an A on the test, maybe, but you're not going to retain the information.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I still think that studying is a scam. I think that's a waste of time, to be honest.
Anyway, over to Ben and Sean's apartment, where Sean's latest scheme. Okay, Sean has an idea. He says, listen, everyone's studying. For the next couple of days, the library's open 24 hours a day. People need to survive. And you know what they need to survive? Freaking fruit. Okay, here's the thing. While I'm not doubting the scientific stuff behind what Sean is saying, college students don't give a single shit about what studies are saying. You know what they want? Quick snacks out of a vending machine. They want processed food. Like, you're way better off going to Costco, getting a huge thing of, like, individually packaged chips, and going around and trying to sell those. I just don't think fruit is the thing that kids are going to want to buy.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean doesn't have a great grasp on what people actually like. He talked about how he knows all about supply and demand, and yet, I think he has a very imagined view of what demand is from anyone for any of these products. I don't think any product that we've seen him go for so far something that people actually would want.
Yeah, I just think, like, this, okay, so we've had the Kodiak vending machines, we've had the marzipan boxing people, we've had, like, that drinking game he made, and now we have this. And I don't, this isn't very high up for me. Like, I just don't know that you're gonna get the money you think you're going to with fruit.
I feel like I'm a Shark Tank guy.
Oh, you're out?
Yeah. I think that for this, the profit margin is not going to be worth it, because fruit is expensive. And even if you're buying the fruit at, let's say, well, in this day and age, fruit, like a bag of Caracara oranges from Costco is $5.99 for like 8 to 10. And then you sell it for $1. So that means that you're making I don't know, like $8 to $10 and you're buying for $5.99, which means that your profit is only what, like $3? Is that worth it? I don't think that the business is worth it.
Yeah, I don't think the money's there, especially when we ask ourselves, when the fuck is Sean studying? If this is what he's doing with his time around finals, you know, like he's not going to have any time to study either.
That's ahead, the Tom. Question. Is Sean even in college right now? I don't. Well,
that's a good question. I never thought about it.
He's
in an apartment. He's not in the dorms. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he says he's the one that they're renting the place from. It feels like he's like the one that his name is on the lease and all.
Right.
He's always coming up with these business ideas, but that's all. We never hear him talk about class. You only hear him talk about his business ideas. You'd hear him talk about how he went to like this summer course at Harvard later on, but that's like the only time he ever says anything about college. I don't think Sean is actually in college taking classes at this point in time.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I can't wait to learn more about that.
Bizarre would that be if you like go to school and you think that you like go to class with somebody and then lo and behold, you're like, wait a minute, you don't even go to school. Like, what do you do? How do you pay your rent? Like, where do you, what's going on with you? But I guess the thing is that, I guess he makes it work, but also he's very concerned about, Ben making rent. I don't know. I think that this is not like the worst idea that's ever existed. Like, there's literally people in New York City that sell cut up mango on the streets and I guess make enough money to like live their lives. But I still think I'm highest on the boxers as long as
the marzipan and if you do more with it.
Yeah. I think that's still my favorite invention, but I like his creativity.
I'm sure we're gonna get more of it. So then we see Felicity and Elena are studying together, and Elena has this M&M system where like she rewards herself as she's studying, which I love a system and I love a rewards based system because this is how I honestly live my life kind of on a day to day. Like as an example, because I binge a lot of television for podcasting, sometimes there are shows that just aren't jiving with me as much as others, right? So I'll be like, okay, if I watch 2 episodes of this show that I'm not as interested in, then I'm going to reward myself with an episode of Felicity. So I still kind of, I honestly did this exact same thing a couple of days ago. Like, this is still a thing I do to myself.
Felicity is your reward?
I mean, in this situation, it was. Yeah, I love Felicity.
It kind of feels like a punishment at times.
This episode was fun, though. Especially after we watched Thanksgiving. We were very high on Felicity, so I was very excited to watch the next episode because it was called Finally, and I feel like I've been tricked. Anyway.
I thought you tricked yourself.
Probably, yeah. We did this to ourselves. Todd, what do you think of Elena's system that she has going on?
I like the idea of like rewarding yourself. I think that's like a good way to keep motivated, positive reinforcement. So I think there's some merit to it. And I just love Elena in this whole episode. There's so many great looks that she gives as Felicity and Ben and Noel are all running around. There's so many times she's like gives a look that makes you know, like, yeah, she just can't believe anything that's going on from these crazy people. Love Elena.
I will say the thing that I think is overboard for me and like the kind of studier I am was the timer. Like, no, thank you, ma'am. I'm not going to be under a timer. Like, we're not bringing timers out into this equation. Bring M&Ms, definitely, but no timers. So Felicity, though, is sidetracked. And I'm like, girl, why do you care? But she can't help it. She has to involve. She's a meddler. She's a Badinsky. She can't help herself. She sees this guy over there and he's like reading Sports Illustrated and listening to music. She's very bothered that he's not studying. And Todd, would you like to say who this man is? I don't know if Sarah would recognize him.
Yeah. At first I was like, he's familiar. How do I know him? Where do I know him? I had to look it up because he's much younger and no facial hair. But this guy played Scott, Paula's husband, on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah. So he is in, I mean, I've seen him in other things too. Like, he's around, you know, he's an actor who's kind of around, especially in the 90s. But yeah, he like, she goes up to him and she's just like, what's going on? Like, why aren't you studying? And this guy is like, oh, I take antidepressants. And he not only takes antidepressants, but he's like, it's actually something I wanted to talk to you about. And Sarah, literally, if someone targeted me and was like, I need to talk to you specifically about antidepressants, that would push me over the edge.
Well, I mean, would it push you to the antidepressants that he's trying to sell?
I mean, possibly, but like, no, I'm so sorry. I'm on antidepressants. All right. Lexapro for the win. No amount of antidepressants, even when I was in college and I, you know, didn't know about the loveliness of SSRIs and, and therapy. There's no amount of antidepressant that would have been like, I don't need to study for finals. Woo, loosey-goosey. Absolutely not.
I agree with that. I think that my complaint is if this guy wants to be selling drugs on the campus, he should really get into the Adderall business and not the Lexapro business, because he would make bank trying to sell Adderall. Not saying that... No, you know, I'll just say
it. Is he even trying to sell them? That's where I was very confused by what his intentions even were.
No, he's trying to, unless it gets referral costs from like referring people to Dr. Carlisle, his psychiatrist. No, he's just like, yeah, I've seen you around. You always wear sweaters. You seem a little intense. And then he just tries to like to give her a pill, like the lighter the pill, the lighter the mood. He does say that he just said that he's on antidepressants. He says he's on a heavy regimen of antidepressants. I think this guy is taking way too many pills.
Too much.
That's
just
fair.
On a normal thing.
It's just funny to me that I'm like, I can only imagine the rumors that were flying about Felicity, like her stalking the guy all the way to New York, you know? So I kind of understand where he's coming from, because how many times, Sarah, have we said, you know, Felicity needs therapy. Yeah. You know, she needs some help. But I just thought it was so funny and at the same time so awful to have a stranger be like, you need antidepressants here.
Well, I think you said it best. Like, obviously the rumor mill is buzzing about Felicity and all the shenanigans that she goes into. I think that it is it's funny. And I mean, like, I gotta say, like, I do think that Felicity could use some therapy. There's nothing wrong about antidepressants, but I don't think this guy should be trying to diagnose her with anything. But he's probably a psychiatry major, and that is something that they do like to do. So,
yeah.
Not to generalize, but I mean, like, literally, they're like, oh, like, I think I know what's wrong with you. And then they try to say so. Yeah. They don't know anything.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So then we go to Noel, who is starting to unpack his bag. Turns out it's not his bag. I need to know who the hell's bag this was, Todd, because we have feather boas and an Elmo doll in it.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting assortment of things in this bag. And this has been around the time when Tickle Me Elmo was like a big thing too. So it probably was a actual Tickle Me Elmo doll. So. Yeah, it's something.
It's gotta be Megan's bag, right? That's something that she would have. She's
a Tickle Me Elmo and a feather boa.
Yes,
she would have. No, her Tickle Me Elmo would be like Sid from Toy Story. Like, she would like take off parts and add other parts to it. Like,
oh,
there's no way this would be staying intact.
Ugh, I can see that, but I don't like it.
And then something happens where I'm like, I immediately would never want to be an RA, which is someone just coming in and being like, oh, I have a final. Can you help me get out of it? Like, that's not his job.
Do we even know what his job is, though? Anything is his job at this point.
I mean,
point.
His job is to not hook up with his advisees, which he does not do.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. So
this seems like a thankless job.
Definitely. He has the wrong bag. He, you know, realizes he has the wrong bag. And at the same point in time, he's like, why does it smell like the 4th of July? What is going on? He goes into this guy Richard's room, and this man, this stupid idiot, this dumbass motherfucker is going to burn this whole fucking building to the ground by having an open flame barbecue cooker grill, like a charcoal grill, cooking food in his dorm room.
Oh, wow.
I think it's a good idea.
I was aghast, Todd. I was like, I would punch this idiot in the face because he needs it. He really does. And I don't usually say violence is necessary, but this guy's a moron.
Welcome to the cast, Richard. Jess is going to love having you around.
This is a guy that continues to be on the show. He's not just a one-off character. Are you kidding? Oh, my fucking God. I've got to deal with this moron even more. Oh, this is such terrible news. He's such an idiot.
This is maybe not the best introduction for the character, but yeah, this is not great. This is not great at all.
I literally, for anybody who thought that was a bit, like, I had zero clue that this man was going to be a recurring character. I thought he was going to be like Pauline or whoever we just met. That is just a one-off, but apparently.
Didn't we hear that somebody's favorite character was coming on this episode?
Is it this guy?
I would say, yeah, I wouldn't have said anything, but Richard's name has come up in some of your emails about this season. Oh, that's really funny. Like, okay. Richard's been mentioned a couple of times.
This is, I mean, I have a terrible memory, so this is...
Favorite character, Jessica, well, and you're calling him like an idiot.
He has a charcoal grill inside, billowing out smoke.
Food is expensive, and the...
He was hungry.
Bring the charcoal grill outside!
And, you know, the cost of living in this day and age in New York is very expensive. And he's just trying to be frugal and cook his own food and not spend like $20 at the food hall.
It's ridiculous. Richard's just like, oh, I didn't even think about it. I'm hungry. And Noel's like, I'm going to report you to student council. Like, this is terrible. And Noel's, I think Noel's also been like pushed to his limits as well because of everything that happened where he hasn't studied for his finals. All he wants to do is make out with Felicity. He picked up the wrong bag at the airport. Like, all of the stress is finally culminating in him being like, I'm going to report you, you dumbass.
You know what? He deserves to be reported back. You report me, I report you, motherfucker. I'll get you.
Well, it all seems to work out in the end, but yeah. And then Felicity is like intrigued by Elena's system. And I love Elena being like, oh, first you mock the system, now you want the system.
I love that. Just, I love the line. I love her delivery of it. And Elena's like, I didn't mock the system, which to be fair, she didn't. She was asking about it, but...
Yeah,
I don't want the system because it's just regular M&Ms. If you're going to do this system, why not get the peanut butter M&Ms? Like, let's.
Did they have the peanut butter M&Ms back then?
Oh, I'm sure. I am sure. What year did peanut butter M&Ms come by? You know, the best peanut butter. I mean, the best M&Ms. 1989. The peanut butter M&Ms are as old as myself and Taylor Swift.
There you go.
You're welcome. If anybody is like, oh, 1989 wasn't a good year, it was the best year, yet idiots, because we got peanut butter M&Ms.
It was the best year, yet idiots.
It was. It was the best year.
So this is when Noel comes in and he's like, so I have the wrong bag. I'm missing everything. All my notebooks, all my notes for my classes, everything. All I have is this bag with a feather boa and an Elmo. And so he's like, now I have 3 days to write an essay exploring the themes of Great Expectations. This doesn't seem great for Noel at all. Also, Great Expectations, I'm surprised, is being taught in college. I'm not gonna lie.
Why?
Because I thought it seems more like a high school level book.
Is it really?
I don't know. It just felt like that to me. Maybe not.
I mean, definitely things that are taught in high school are also taught in college. And Dickens is, I mean, if you're taking a class on Dickens, for example, you're gonna be like reading through all of his different stuff. So
yeah. But Felicity offers to help. She's so generous. She's like, I can help you. Don't worry. And he's like, oh, you have time to do like your stuff and help me with my stuff. And she's like, yeah, of course. Like I could totally help you. And it's, and I love the look on Elena's face mm-hmm. when they're having this conversation. Cause Elena knows better. Elena's a smart cookie. She's like, there's no way they're not going to be making out.
Yeah. Like I said, Elena's looks this whole episode are just chef's kiss.
I just love that Elena's like, no bullshit, like, we got business to do at all times. Like, she's the only one there that's actually there for school.
She doesn't get caught up in the bullshit like a lot of other people
no,
do.
No, and she can't because she was on scholarship, and now it's yeah. like she got this, grant from this successful female Black doctor, and it's just like, I'm not going to waste this opportunity on bullshit like the rest of these kids do. I'm here for work. I'm going to be a doctor, and then I'm eventually going to pay it forward. So she's got some important stuff going on. Also, what happened to Blair? Did we get rid of Blair?
Who the hell's Blair?
Oh, the Tin Man.
The Tin Man.
Oh, sorry. maybe. I don't know. He hasn't been around.
Okay.
She's busy.
Okay, I guess she's too busy for a boyfriend, of course.
She's too busy for Blair.
Understood.
How do we feel about this? We go to Black and we have like, oh, we're in the library. It's 8:00 p.m., 36 hours until finals. How do we feel about this ongoing kind of update on how long until finals?
I really enjoyed it. And this is the reason why I wanted to be on for this episode, actually, was the finals of it all. Because when I first saw this episode, I wasn't that far removed from college. And it really is like, I remember watching this going, this captured like the feeling of freshman year finals better than anything else I'd ever seen. Like it captured like the college experience for me in ways that felt like very truthful. It's just like the amount of stress and people studying, but letting their personal lives get in the way and trying to deal with all of that. I felt like this episode really did a great job of encapsulating that feeling. And I was like really impressed with this episode when it first aired. This and another episode that comes in later season that is another one I wanted to be on for, but someone else had already claimed it. Good on you, whoever you are. But there's another one that later on this season I'm sure I'll be like sending in voicemail about, because it also like really captured part of my college experience like just really well. And that was like the big reason I wanted to talk about this was because I really like this. I really like the pressure, the looking at the clock and realizing how long you have until you have to take this test. And the thing is, see, I was not someone who stressed out about finals that much for the most part. My very first semester freshman year, I did stress out about my chemistry final because I had a horrible grade in my chemistry class and I needed to make a good grade so I could like, you know, keep my GPA up, because much like Elena, I had scholarships. And if I didn't have scholarships, I would not be at school. Mm-hmm. So I was like trying to keep those good grades up. But also, like I said, I'm someone who just like would cram 24 hours beforehand for most things. But I knew other people I had one class in college where people were writing sample essays and going to the professors and asking them beforehand, would this work? Would this? And I'm just like, what is wrong with him? Granted, it was an honor symposium. I was in the honors dorm. You know, I was in there with a whole bunch of like other nerds like me, but they're nerds who are overachievers. I wasn't an overachiever. I was an achiever. I knew what I needed to make to get my A, and that's why I would like do the math to figure out, okay, if I make a 40 on this final, I can keep my A, so I'm not going to worry about it. I don't need to make an A on the final because I'll have an A in the class. Whereas other people, they have to get like the highest grade. That was not me. As an honor student, that was not me, even remotely. But I knew people who were so stressed out about this sort of stuff. It was just like sitting there in the same room with them. They're like, okay, it's a little much.
I probably fell into the stressed out category, not to the point where I'd be like writing sample essays or anything like that, but certainly even watching this episode, I will say like the timestamps of like this many hours to go was super effective in bringing me back to that place of like being very stressed about finals. I think I am the kind of person who I hit a wall at a certain point where once I've studied for a certain amount, I just can't anymore. I cannot bring myself to be, especially like, you know, the people who are like last minute studying right before the test. I can't do that. Like I'm not studying the morning of the test. It's too stressful for me. I feel like it's not doing me any more good than any other studying I've done. But yeah, I think that the time cards are really effective in making you feel that internal pressure, that anxiety of, oh my gosh, finals. And I have not done a final in very, very many years. But we get to see a little bit of like a montage of all these people in the library studying. And then we have Nolan Felicity and she's trying to help him. And all he could talk about is, oh my God, the way you smell. I keep forgetting things I learned in high school, which is a cute line, Sarah. It's a cute line.
I mean, they have really good chemistry and I do enjoy watching them, and it's very, very cute. And of course, they're just like really not able to concentrate.
No, on... I mean, you, how would you be able to? They're sitting 6 inches apart. Like their faces, you could feel someone's breath on your face when you're sitting that close. Oh,
sexy. I don't know. The pheromones be pheromoning. I think that they're just like so magnetized to each other. I understand. It's okay.
I love this so much because of, again, if it was just them making out, I wouldn't be as interested. You know, I mean, again, they have great chemistry and everything, but I died when they start making out and suddenly like the partition walls are like shaking, and then everyone is like, you go to the shot of like everyone looking around like, what the hell is that? And they full on fall onto the floor like, what is, and Noel just casually is like, oh, does anybody have the time?
Sloppy little bitches.
I loved it. I thought it was really cute, and it does feel like, you know, this is how it is in the beginning of a relationship. You can't keep your hands off each other. You know, it did feel like true to form in that way. It was just so funny. It's like so obvious they're not going to be able to be around each other in a platonic way for 3 days.
We go to, it's now 10:18 p.m., 33 hours, 42 minutes to finals. They are in the silent reading room. Okay. Yes. To be fair, I didn't realize it was a silent reading room. I guess if you have one job and it's to be quiet, you should probably be quiet.
Because there are plenty of other rooms where you don't have to be silent. You know what I mean?
Right. So Ben and Julie are, in their defense, talking very quietly. And Ben is really having a hard time studying and absorbing it. And
yeah, he's trying to study poetry, which we know he's struggled with throughout the season so far.
Right. It's boring to him. And also, this is the class that he got kind of fucked over with because of Felicity.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So he really needs to do well here. Again, he keeps getting shushed. And he, you know, he's like, he can't figure out how to get through this. And then we go to a third floor reading room. We have 33 hours and 26 minutes until the finals. Felicity is reading Noel from Great Expectations. And like, he's obviously not paying attention, Todd, because Scott Foley is really wonderful in that, like, you can tell he's just totally just mystified by Felicity, and he can't pay attention to words that are coming out of her mouth because he's probably just staring at her mouth.
Oh yeah, just like big puppy dog, puppy love eyes, just like completely smitten, not even there. And she's like, are you listening to me? He's like, hey, we're here to study, not to flirt. So cut it out, okay? Which made me laugh. Yeah. Him trying to turn the tables on her, even though it obviously was him. And I do want to mention one thing before we move too far away from it. One of the things I love about this episode is when Ben and Julie are in the silent study room talking, there are subtitles. There are big subtitles, which pays off great later on in the episode. But I like the setup here. Like anytime anyone's in the room and whispering, you have the subtitle showing up. So you just wanted to tee that up because it pays off amazingly later on.
Yeah. So of course they're like, all right, well, we're really not getting anything done anyway. Maybe let's go up to the stacks and just make out for an hour. And they're not even subtle. They run out of the library.
Yeah. An hour is a long time for makeout, though.
It's too long. It's too long. I'm just saying, like, your mouth is going to be sore. Like, are you even having fun after an hour?
Probably not. But they go out, they go to what, like another part of the library? What's called the stacks?
Yeah, I need to know the lore behind the stacks.
What's the stacks?
The stacks is basically just where the books are. You know, the stacks are like the shelves with the books.
Got it.
And so that, okay, that's the stacks. When you go to the stacks, you're going out just away from like the study spaces. You're actually going into the area where the books are housed on the shelves.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Well, they're making out, and unfortunately for them, they get caught by none other than Barbecue Boy himself, Richard, who sees them making out. And he looks and he's just like, wait a minute, you're the RA. You're not supposed to be kissing a student. And he's like, I'm gonna report your ass.
I love it so much. Because I'm gonna report you. They're like, no, I'm gonna report your ass. And he takes off running. Just
and
like,
he runs. Great. And then Noel chases him and just leaves.
Hanging, absolutely hanging, because he doesn't want to get in trouble, but also he just reported this guy. So they have this little like chasing thing, and Felicity is left in the dust. I think that, I don't know, like Ben needs to just like let it go, but I guess he really doesn't want to get in trouble. And we at least that they, so then now we have Elena with, what's his name? What's the invention guy's name again?
Sean.
Sean is selling his fruit. And Elena says, this is the stupidest fucking invention that you ever came up with. It's never going to work. Leave my face. I have my candy. I don't need you.
Yeah, she has her M&Ms. Like I said, something from a vending machine. That's what a college student would buy. And I love the line of, he says, do you know what happens to a body when it's denied vitamin C? And she says, do you know what happens to a man whose ass I kick?
Sean was like giving her Felicity fertility advice. And she's like, I'm not looking to get pregnant. I'm just like looking to study.
I just want to pass my final.
That's it.
Oh man, I like that we now have like two episodes in a row where Elena is basically, no, I guess the other one was like a couple episodes ago, but Elena threatened to kick people's ass. I like that. Because she threatened to kick Felicity's ass, the whole like high school student a few episodes ago.
Honestly, a lot of these people could use an ass kicking. Introduce her to Richard, you know, like a lot of these people need ass kickings. So Sean leaves. And Elena is like, I love Elena too. She's like, I don't have a ton of time. I'm busy studying, but I do have a single moment to be like, hey, you guys boning yet?
Well, she asked last time in science class.
I love it so much. Felicity's like, as if I would tell you if there was any boning involved. And I'm like, stop saying boning, please.
This is the same conversation that they already had. This is like going to be like a copy and paste conversation between the two of them.
Elena's only ever interested if people are boning. That's all she wants to know. She doesn't care about anything else. It's just, are you boning? You fucking?
She needs the deets.
She does. that's when Ben comes in and he like walks up to Felicity. He's like, I really need your help. He has like, he's with his poetry stuff. Like he's really struggling. And he says, I know I'm not the smartest, but I'm also not a moron. And Elena's like, fuck everybody. I'm doing my system. Please leave. And of course, Felicity gets roped into this. But Ben, I mean, let's be real, Sarah. Ben manipulated Felicity perfectly. He was like, you owe me this. This is your fault.
Do you agree? Do you think
that? Absolutely. She owes him everything. Yes. Because if not for that failing grade that he got, he would have gotten a B on that essay.
Correct. Yes.
So okay. Yeah, she owes him.
All right. So Todd, what do you think? Like, do you think that Felicity owes him?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. She screwed him over big time.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I think that makes sense that she helps him. And she does, to her credit, call Noel and leaves a message and tells him where she's going to be at, because she doesn't know where Noel is because he's still chasing down the barbecue guy. And that will come into play a bit later on. But I do think that was good for her to be like, just so you know, this is where I'll be.
Yeah. And it's interesting that both Ben and Elena bring up Noel as well, because Ben's like, oh, I saw you studying with Noel. Are you sure he won't mind? And Elena's like, oh, Noel's not going to mind you studying with Ben. And I like that Felicity is like leading with honesty. You know, she's like being very upfront about what she's doing, why she's doing it. And I mean, Noel knows all the information. Noel knows that she like did the whole essay for Ben and all of that. So he should know the guilt she's going to feel.
You would think, but I guess like when his like brain chemistry is altered a little bit later, like he kind of forgets all of that. He catches up to the barbecue guy and
Richard. Yeah.
Richard, they have this
barbecue
exchange.
Barbecue dick.
Okay. they have this exchange where he's like, well, did you report me? And he's like, well, did you report me? And basically, because Noel reported Richard, that means that Richard is still interested in reporting Noel. And yeah. he says something really funny. He's like, I just don't think that I just don't know that you can like take on the responsibility of being an RA. Like he said something along those lines.
Oh, well, he says,
kind of thought was funny.
One of my favorite, very topical lines in this episode is, don't take the Clinton defense with me. It was really good. But yeah, and he says, now I'm going to go buy a hamburger because I'm not allowed to make them myself.
See? And he has to spend all this money and now
if
he's going to go
forth. Just brought the freaking barbecue grill outside, Sarah, it wouldn't have even been a problem.
But it looks really cold and it's the end of December.
Then buy a fucking burger like a normal human being.
It costs a lot of money, Jessica.
How much did that grill cost? Okay. All the charcoal. How much is that building going to cost when he burns it to the ground?
It's the same thing of if you buy, you can teach a fisherman to fish or you can give them a fish. Like if he buys a grill, then he has endless burgers. But if he buys a burger, then he doesn't have endless burgers. You buy the grill for $50, then you buy the meat for $6, then you get 4 burgers, or you can buy a burger every day and then have to spend hundreds on burgers.
You know, when I watched this episode, I didn't imagine there would be arguments on the safety of lighting a barbecue grill indoors, and yet...
Mm-hmm. Well, here the we thing are. Is that the only issue that I've experienced in college about burning things is people setting, pressing the popcorn button on popcorn. That made the fire alarms go off all the time. All the time. But I never once heard anything about barbecue burgers.
Because most people are smart enough not to try to barbecue in their dorm rooms.
Oh, and they're not smart enough not to put the 1-minute mini popcorn bags into the microwave and press the popcorn button?
The thing is, college kids are stupid.
They had to ban them.
Because also, if you're putting the mini popcorn bag in the microwave, don't hit the popcorn button. The popcorn button is intended for the big bag.
Girly, I wish that I, like, that you can tell these kids that, but it happened all the time. I went out, okay, one time the fire alarm went off, and I opened up the door. There was smoke everywhere. You know what the culprit was? The popcorn bags.
Yeah.
They got banned.
We've had to ban the popcorn from my office, because one time someone... I think they're trying to hit 60 seconds, but they accidentally hit 6 minutes and then walked away as it was going.
Oh, no.
But yeah, next thing you know, fire alarm's going off. We're all outside. Like, it was actually on fire. Like, the popcorn bag was actively on fire. So, yeah.
But has anybody at work ever burned a place down because of the burgers?
See, the thing is, you're kind of coming from this false assumption they actually have, like, safely had a barbecue inside. It just hasn't happened. No one has even tried to do a barbecue inside.
They could. Like,
they could try, and this probably exponentially worse the danger than hitting the popcorn button.
The problem with this whole conversation is that the listeners don't understand that when Sarah is in her little trolly moods, she has a specific look on her face. And Stop. They don't get to see the face when they listen to the podcast.
So rude. You literally just said that I look like a troll. That's so exactly mean.
What I said. Yep.
That is exactly, so mean. It's not nice to call somebody ugly. I'm sorry. I don't have a pixie face like Felicity.
Pixie face. Anyway, speaking of Felicity, Let's talk about the show again. Noel is like comes back in. He's trying to look for Felicity, and Elena's like, "Oh, you guys don't already have low jacks on each other." Which again, Elena's a queen. I love her. And she says, "Oh, she's working with Ben." And Noel, like, obviously is bothered by this. And Elena calls him out for it. And he's like, "It doesn't rip me to shreds. You know, I'm much more of a man than you give me credit for." But she does pass along the message. And I feel so bad for Elena that she has to be messenger woman here. But she's like, she left you a voicemail on your answering machine. Go listen to it.
Yeah. But like you mentioned before, it's good that Felicity was like, "Okay, telling Elena, Elena, when Noel comes looking for me, tell him this information." And then the answer machine is like all the information up front, not trying to hide it, not trying to sneak around. Other shows would have that, "Oh, I don't want Noel to get upset, so let's not tell him." That would have driven me bonkers. I would have hated that. But at least she's like up front. And even the answer machine, she's like, even says, I'm helping Ben because you know I ruined his life with that paper, so I like owe him," which, yeah. It makes sense. Everything that she's doing makes sense and completely reasonable. So kudos to Felicity for being, you know, thoughtful and logical for once.
Yes. Yes. And so then we're like, we flash over to Ben and Felicity, who are studying this time in the lounge, and she's trying to teach him about poetry, but they get interrupted because a man in the background has hiccups. And this scene was so weird. I was like, why is this necessary?
Why are hiccups necessary? Hiccups,
I mean, as someone who suffers from hiccups, and when I get hiccups, not only do they last a really long time, they're also very painful, and I tend to get them multiple times in the same day. Felt solidarity with this poor bald man.
What is the scientific reason for hiccups? You know, like, I think like sneezing, you sneeze to get out like dust particles in your nose. Like, what's the scientific reasoning?
It's your diaphragm or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's like caught in a pattern or something. I honestly, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
It's bad. And they try to give him advice. And I want to know if either of you have tried any of these methods.
Yeah, all of
where
them.
Drinking from the opposite side of the glass.
No, how I've never does heard
that
work? Her.
What does that mean?
It's supposed to just distract you.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You're supposed to just like be distracted and like change your rhythm.
Okay.
Maybe.
Breathing into a paper bag. I've not heard of this as a helpful method for hiccups.
I've heard it for like if you're hyperventilating, they usually give you a paper bag.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I've heard it for as well. Yeah, very strange.
Ben has this whole thing like, you know, take a deep breath and hold it, and then take a deep breath and hold it.
That doesn't work. Mm. I always try that. Yeah, that doesn't never work for me.
And then Felicity's last suggestion is just bizarre.
Hold a penny between your toes and think of three bald men. And then they realize he's bald. And they're like, "Oh, maybe just two other men."
And yourself. I think once again, like, the theory of that is like to distract yourself from what's going on. Maybe.
I guess. Yeah. Whatever. But they're like, "This place is too loud. Let's go to a different place." So they get up and leave. Then meanwhile, Noel is standing and listening to the message from Felicity. And she says that she's going to be working with him only for an hour. She's going to be in the lounge, which maybe that was the whole point of the scene, is that they can't be in the lounge anymore. They have to move because of hiccup guy.
Yeah.
He just ruins everything, doesn't he?
Seems like it. We get an interesting pairing of Sean and Julie where, like, I guess Julie has nothing better to do than help Sean sell fruit. But it turns out that having a cute business partner is helpful because she uses her womanly wiles to sell fruit.
Beautiful girl selling fruit. It goes back to the Bible, he says.
That is really good. Oh my gosh. Then, of course, Noel is like hunting for Felicity. He can't find her. He finds the hiccuping guy. He's like, I mean, he doesn't seem too happy, and of course he runs into Megan.
I love this. He's like, asks her if she's seen Felicity. He's like, "I don't think so. Everyone I've seen has been pretty well dressed."
Savage so Megan.
Oh, so funny. So he's like, "Oh, Felicity was supposed to help me study," and she's like, "Oh, you need smart powder." And I'm immediately out. I'm immediately out on it. And someone trying to sell me something called smart powder.
Okay. So what is smart powder? What is this stuff? What is it?
Some kind of drugs?
No.
It's probably like some sort of like ginkgo biloba, some sort of homeopathic, you know.
Yeah. I guess the issue, like that. I think like it is probably like a natural caffeine of some sort that is probably helps with attention. I think I've seen this stuff, but Noel has a sensitivity to beets, and the root powder has beet in it, which we did hear Hannah mention in the last episode. So yes, that was like a weird setup, but essentially Noel's on speed is what I'm gathering is what's happening.
That's exactly what I thought as well. I'm like, okay, seems like speed. Again, immediately I'm like, this is a terrible idea, especially taking this from Megan. You know, Megan, you know, do you trust her to give you illicit substances? Probably not.
Does he know Megan?
He's desperate though. He's desperate.
Yeah, apparently. So he takes some. So Sean and Julie still selling fruit. It's all going well. Sean's making money. Perfect. Yay. Wonderful. Noel drinks this smart powder. It to me looked like Pop Rocks. It sounded like it was Pop Rocks. And I thought at first it was just going to be Pop Rocks and it was nothing was going to happen, you know, but, no, he drinks it. And like, kind of seems like immediately it has effects. We go back to the silent reading room, which again, I don't know why we are in the silent reading room when Ben and Felicity must work together. You know, doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but they're working together and they start like cracking up again. They get shushed as one does when they're talking in the silent room. And again, we, like to Todd's point, we get all the subtitles about them talking because it's supposed to be quiet. Meanwhile, they're having a little joking moment. I don't know. Like, Todd, how did you read this? Like, did you read this as like romantic energy between them or more like a friendly, like jovial moment?
I think there's a moment where Felicity looks at Ben and it's almost like, oh yeah, now I remember why I was obsessed with you. It's just like the look on her face during like their conversations in this is like very much like, uh-oh, she's starting to catch feelings again, is like the vibe that I got off of it.
No. She's just being friends with Ben. That's it. I think.
I mean, yeah, I think later we get clarity. I think we're supposed to be a little bit like concerned at this moment.
I was not concerned.
Okay. Noel looks like he's drunk. He's like bumbling around, he's bumping into people. He is like sweating, and Elena immediately is like, "What the hell are you on?"
Just a little beetroot. That's it.
Yeah, I like it. He's like, could you you're gonna be a doctor. Could you like feel my pulse? And she like takes his wrist, she's like, that's not your heart.
It's like, yeah, you're a future doctor, is what he says. It's like the most ridiculous thing to say. He looks like he's like panicking. And he immediately goes up to Megan and it's like, were there beets in there? And she's like, oh, they're roots. I don't know. And he's like, this is what happens though. And I've never heard of this being like a way an allergic reaction looks, where like you start being hyperactive. I don't know. I guess I always picture allergic reactions to be more of like your puffy, you know, throat swelling sort of thing. But he's acting like a maniac.
I don't think this is a real thing.
I honestly don't know. I don't know if it is. I think there can be other kinds of weird allergic reactions. So I'm not going to say it's definitely not, but it's not one I've ever encountered. But my favorite part about this is she's answering me. He's like, yells at her, stop talking so slowly.
I love that. I was just going to say the same thing, Todd. I love her reaction when she just goes, whoa. It's so funny. So then we get, again, this I thought was really interesting, where we go back to Ben and Felicity studying. And Ben is just kind of like looking at Felicity. He's like, oh, hey, like, you know, the reason I asked about you and Noel is because I saw you kissing in the bathroom. And Felicity is like very much taken aback. Like, what? Oh. Everyone is shushing them again. And he's like, oh, I just wanted to know. I'm just curious. Like, what are you guys? And it's really interesting. I don't know, Sarah, I want to know how you read this. How did you read this question from Ben? Is it just honest curiosity?
I think in general, yes, but like maybe I think like there's a part of people, like even if they're not interested, like their ego gets like a little hurt when like somebody liked you and then they are showing interest in somebody new. You're like, wait a minute, I thought that was like the person that you liked. Like, what is this? Like, it's a new person. But I also think that there's a part of him that's very relieved to not be the subject of Felicity's obsession anymore.
Yeah. Todd, what do you think? I just found it interesting that like he is asking about Noel. You know what I mean? Like, and it could just be on a friend level of like, hey, what's going on in your life? But it is interesting to note that he is asking about Noel. So Noel, meanwhile, is hyperactively walking back and forth, pacing and staring in at them.
Okay. He's on crack. Like, I don't know what like crazy psychedelic beats these are, but it's not good. Like
he's freaking out.
He is. Yeah. He's really freaking out. And like, he's hype. Like, he's just like, really, really, really paranoid. Like, he really is kind of, I don't know any beats. I've had beats. This has never happened to me. I'm allergic to shit. It's never happened to me. But he is like basically about to murder them. And then he comes in and he's just like, I don't know. So
he freaks out.
He like yells at them. He goes, do you think that I'm just gonna like sit here by myself and let myself get jerked around by you two? And Ben's like, literally nothing's happening. She's just helping me study. And then Felicity, good for her, is just like, screw you both. I need to focus on myself now. Goodbye, everybody. Yeah. I can't handle this anymore.
Well, and the funniest part about the whole thing, Todd, is like that right before Noel has his outburst, Felicity is saying to Ben, like, he's like my best friend. He's the greatest guy. He's so level-headed.
Yeah, like, he's the most level-headed guy. You can know he's always going to keep his cool. At that moment, the door gets kicked in, and he comes in yelling. And here's one of my favorite things of the whole episode, is the subtitles continue, but now they're all in caps. So he is screaming, and the subtitles from the whispering are now all in caps, as he's like, she's supposed to be liking me!
That's a very funny visual gag that I don't think I noticed the first time around. But now that you see it, now that you mention it, like, I see it. Because only his subtitles are in caps and everybody else's.
Well, his and Mr. Barbecue Dick, who jumps up and is like, you are definitely not fit to be an RA!
Which, fair point at this point, Richard. Fair point, you know?
Yeah, and he leaves, and poor Noel is just sitting there like, what have I done? And then Ben just starts laughing. Which I also really liked, because it was really funny, so I appreciated that, like, Ben sees the humor in all of this.
Yeah, because he's in the know. He knows how ridiculous it all is, so...
Yeah. Yeah, and then we get... so we get one of our first... I mean, we've had, like, one or two interactions between Ben and Noel, but not a ton. And Ben approaches Noel in the cafeteria and offers him a glass of warm milk. And I'm like, is he five, though? Is he five? Because this seems weird.
So creepy. Oh my milk gosh. Is just creepy, and warm milk is even creepier. So they have this talk, and Ben's, like, very reassuring that, you know, that they are... just friends, that they were just studying, like, she really, really likes you, she was just talking about you. And I like that. I really do like that Ben's being comforting to Noel in this moment, especially because he's like, I don't know, jonesing. He's like cracked out over there. Like, he's like moving his knee and he's like eating a sandwich all crazy. It's really nice that Ben's being reassuring, because he doesn't have to. He doesn't owe this guy anything. But
like, tell me you did not get vibes of like, okay, Ben is Dawson and Noel is Pacey. And Noel is very insecure about Ben because to what he says, but you're the prize. Like, you're the one that Felicity was obsessed with. Like, it feels very love triangle-y, Joey, Dawson, Pacey vibes on this part here.
Well, I love it's your first band as the unrequited nightmare, which is not something I would normally. Like, that choice of phrasing really, wait, did he say what I think he said? But it's a really nice scene, like, you know, because like I said, like up until now, but the only thing we've seen, like the two of them interact without anyone else around, was basically Noel telling Ben not to hurt Felicity. Like, that's basically all we've gotten between the two of them, I think.
And it's always felt, like, competitive. And, like, this didn't feel that way because Ben was saying, she likes you, you know?
Yeah, and Ben's been a good guy. He's like, hey, I've seen this sort of reaction before from my track team people. You know, sandwich and more milk, get some stuff in your system. Just being, like, a good guy, helping out, trying to calm Noel down. This is, like, probably the most I've liked Ben in most of this show. I think there was good stuff in the episode, like the second part of the episode with Julie.
Yes.
And all of that stuff. I think Ben did like a really good job in that episode as well in a lot of ways. So I think like I'm growing. Ben is growing on me a little bit on this rewatch compared to like the first time I watched the series. I don't think ever really a big Ben fan for most of the show, but here I really like this this interaction between them. And I like whenever he's like telling them, she says all this nice stuff about you, and Bill's like, you know, how long she said before I came in like a total psycho, and it's like about 3 seconds.
Yeah,
and then they both laugh, which I like that because like it's a releasing the tension, and Noel sees the how absurd it is, and Ben, and they have this like really nice kind of almost like bonding moments. Like, so possibly they might be able to become friends after this.
Yeah. And especially like, I thought the editing choices in this episode were really well done. We got one earlier where she's talking about how great Noel is. And then we like flash to him freaking out in the hallway. And we get another one here where he's like, oh, she probably thinks I'm a freak. And Ben's like, no, she doesn't. And we immediately go to Felicity recording a message to Sally saying, Noel is such a freak. So it's really well done, I thought. So eventually it turns out Elena gives Felicity her system, which is like, you know, Elena, you're such a queen. We love you so much. And suddenly she's like, oh, and then like, that was everything. We studied, we get like Christmas music playing. And she says,
I have a special report.
Oh yes. What's the special report?
Elena has not only regular M&Ms, but maybe peanut M&Ms or peanut butter M&Ms.
Oh, well, so then you can't shade her system anymore.
I can't tell, but there's definitely larger M&Ms, and I'm curious what it is.
Okay. Well, Felicity says everyone is studying. Everyone's working hard. And my favorite is this man who puts up a sign that says, during this time, absolute silence is required. And he stares Felicity down.
She's such a bad reputation.
I mean, obviously.
Earned, but she does.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out if that was still in the library, if that was in the dorms at that point in time. Because I feel like putting that star sign up feels like more of like a need to be quiet on the dorms, like quiet hours on the dorm floors than anything else. Because we had that in our dorms, like during finals week, there were quiet hours. Because one of my good friends, he got in trouble for playing his music too loud. Like, it's like having an hour where you could have like noise. And so he's like cranking his music up, and then quiet hour started and he didn't turn his music down fast enough. And then he got written up. And he had to go before the judicial board to get, some sort of punishment. And so his punishment was he had to like put up, like make signs to put up to encourage people to keep quiet hours.
Oh my
God. So the sign that he made read, to keep the bliss, mighty bass you must miss, but he capitalized the letters to spell kiss my ass.
Oh my god. Iconic. I love it. That's incredible.
So shout out to Ray.
Oh my gosh.
Ray.
So then Noel does something that is just so awful. You should not do this to a person. Felicity is taking her final in that little blue book that we're all familiar with. And Noel walks by the classroom and is like, I need to talk to you. And she rightfully says, I'm in a final. Like, what do you want? He's like, please. And so she goes up to the, I don't know if it's a TA or what, but she goes up and she's just like, oh, I know it's probably against the rules and you can say no, but can I go to the bathroom? And he's like, well, technically no, but you're cute. And she's like, ew, forget it. Yeah. Which I was like, really, yes, liked. Felicity.
Yeah, I like that.
And then he goes, oh, I'm kidding. And I'm like, maybe you shouldn't though.
Yeah, I mean, nothing says 90s more than TA, like, sexually propositioning a student.
So help me God if we get another professor-student relationship, Todd. I will fucking
TA. It's so different.
Yeah, but his, like, I'm just kidding. It smacks of, oh, yeah, no, I was serious, but now you're getting, I'm going to get in trouble. So, yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so she does go out there and talks to him. And apparently his uncle has died. He took a turn for the worst. And so now he needs to leave. And she does say, I heard about the smart pattern. He says, don't ever eat anything Megan gives you forever.
She wasn't going to.
Yeah. But he says, I have to leave in 2 hours. You know, I wanted to see you, because he was like very panicked about figuring out what they were, defining it. However, like, because he was like afraid basically that if they didn't figure it out before they left for Christmas, that it might just be gone when they get back. And he says, but that's stupid. And I really love this speech that he gives. He says, like, we're not just a passing opportunity. We don't need to rush. And even with, if that means knowing I'm suffering a whole month, knowing that you and Ben are in the same city, whatever we are, I love what we are, and we can figure it out in January. And they have like a very cute little kiss. And I thought this was a pretty decent speech, even though I'm like, stop bringing Ben's name into the conversation. Stop bringing him up, Noel.
Yeah. It's okay. Like, I feel as though, I don't know. They're just trying to figure out their love. It's so new and so fragile. Yeah. It's delicate, you know?
Yeah. And bringing up Ben might not be the best thing, but to be fair, not too long ago, he had to draw a line to keep her from even talking to him about Ben. So Ben has been like a cornerstone of their relationship, sadly. So it's understandable that Noel is a little freaked out and a little nervous about all of that. Because, again, this woman changed her plans, moved across the country to stalk this guy who wrote in her yearbook once. So, Noel knows every crazy thing Felicity has done for Ben and to Ben, because she has told Noel every crazy thing she has done to and for Ben. So, I mean, it's not great that he keeps bringing that up, but I can't blame him for being nervous and neurotic about it, because he's seen the receipts.
Yeah, he knows. That's true. And so they decide, okay, not to worry. Like, I'm going to leave. And she goes and finishes her final. And she says, like, okay, before I knew it, like, finals were open or done. And it was time to go home. So she calls Ben, because they're supposed to be sharing a cab together to go to the airport to go home. And the camera, like, it just shows Ben laying in bed. And so he picks up the phone. And he's like, oh, I changed my mind. I'm going to stay in New York instead. And we get this like, moment where it's basically a reminder of the very first episode, where he says, I want to see this place with snow. Which is like a thing they had bonded on in the first episode. And he's like, she's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll just see you when I get back then. And she does look like weirdly disappointed. I don't know. I can't tell. Like, she does look like she's a little disappointed that they're not going to share a cab together, which, okay, sure, fine, whatever.
I don't know. I think it's like, you know, for me, it's kind of like last time Noel was like, oh, I'm not doing this plan. She changed her entire plans. Like, you know, last time Noel was like, I'm staying here, she changed her entire plans. And I thought it was like showed growth and actual interest in Noel, that when she heard Ben's plans was and he was staying, like, she essentially just like let him go. She was like, okay, like, see you later. And like, I kind of feel like that shows like a very like interesting distinction between her feelings between these two guys, because when Noel was staying, she felt like she had to stay. I know the Julie thing was going on too, but I think that Noel and the Hannah thing is also part of it. But I think that it was like an interesting comparison between two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. And when Ben settles back into bed, who's there next to him but Julie? And she has, it's very weird because she has a kind of like, she looks bothered, like sad or upset, I think. Like her face, she looks a little upset. And it does seem a little awkward as he like goes to settle back in next to her, but it's like, ooh, shippish, they hooked up. Ooh, I can't wait to see how this all falls apart very soon because we know it's going to.
Yeah. Her facial expression is like really interesting. Like I was like trying to like interpret what exactly does that facial expression mean? Because yeah, she liked Ben before and everything, and she was going to go after him. And then the jackass got involved and everything went down with him. And it's been a little while now. So she's like, now it's like feeling comfortable enough to get with Ben. But I think there might be a little bit of regret of like, maybe it was too soon. Maybe she got into this a little bit too soon after the trauma she went into, you know, and
that's what I was wondering
how it was going to affect her.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering is like, did that have something to do with it? I think it's also interesting that while we're seeing all of this, we get the Sally voiceover, which again, Sally, I don't care about you, but it's fine. Where she says that seems like every time you think you figured out what something is, it just becomes something else, which is interesting. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, yay, happy days. I don't know. Sarah, what do you think about this?
I don't know if I think about it.
You don't. That's it. Well, something's going to happen. Felicity's heading home. She's wearing a terrible hat that should never be on her head ever again. And that's the end of our episode. And that is like the end of the first half of like the season before they went on winter break when it originally aired. So it was like kind of leaving it off on like a big thing, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, is with Noel, Noel's with Felicity. Why can't Julie and Ben do what they want to do?
Because Felicity's going to have a problem with it. That's why. We all know it. So I
maybe
had two
Felicity
episodes
should
of thinking,
get a life. How
I
about
liked
that?
Felicity for two episodes. Apparently, it's all going to go to shit in the next episode. I guarantee it.
Let's hope not. No. I think the last couple of episodes have been probably like the two of the strongest episodes of the show since the pilot. I think the Thanksgiving episode, like Jess and I talked about this a little bit in chats, like, because she was like, yeah, I can't believe no one asked to be a guest on the Thanksgiving episode on the podcast. I told her, like, after watching the Thanksgiving episode, I kind of wish I had asked to be on for that episode, because I feel like it's the first episode where everything really is gelling. Like, Felicity is now past like the super crazy stalker stuff, but it was also like pretty much the entire main cast is together for the first time in one place, all interacting. And I feel like that's where the show finally starts to become more of an ensemble show. I feel like this episode is another one. Like, it's a really good ensemble episode because you have had little storylines with people in the past, but it feels like it has always been like mainly through the Felicity filter. And I feel like now things are starting to get like the whole Elena storyline with her dad. Felicity had nothing to do with that. Like, Felicity was not interfering in that storyline in any way, shape, or form. Whereas before, most Elena stuff, like, Felicity was interfering or Noel was interfering. But this is just Elena and her dad last episode. And I think this is where the show is starting to maybe, okay, it doesn't have to be about Stalker Girl anymore. We can have these other characters. And we can put the spotlight on them. And it's a really great cast of characters, a really great cast of actors. And I think this is probably the point. Like I said, this episode really, like, lives in my memory for, like, the college experience of it all. But I think this point in the show is where it really starts to find its footing and become the show that I really came to love when it was first airing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I think the past two have been definitely the top two for me. I still think I like the Thanksgiving episode a little bit more just because we got to see like all the characters together.
Definitely.
But I did really like this episode, especially we get like the drama, we get all the kissies, you know, figuring out the relationship, all that. But we do have some feedback to listen to. So let's see what Temi has to say about this episode.
Hi, ladies. You know how Scott Speedman, Ben, nearly always smiles after he finishes his line?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like Josh Jackson with the smallest of chuckles during his lines. You know, both characters are charming, somewhat bad at school, and like fights. You'll see.
Like fights?
Noel is like this big idiot in this episode. And is Megan a witch? I mean, asking Noel to concoct a new age brew in a solo cup? Is Sean a fruit pimp? Julie selling fruit is shades of Britta and Emmy raising money for the Gulf oil spill.
That's really funny, yeah.
The lesson from that community episode and this episode is that some men cannot think straight in front of beautiful women. And even before Noel took the smart powder, he was on a drug. Love.
Yeah.
Thanks.
The love drug. This is so funny to me because I love that Temi was making a comparison between Ben and PC when I was saying, oh, Noel and PC are similar. So that's so interesting. I love that. Megan is definitely a witch, right?
Just a little black magic.
Just a little black magic. Okay, we also, of course, have a voicemail from DBK. So let's see what he has to say. I'm gonna be so sad, DBK, if you love Richard and I'm trashed with this podcast.
I can only see it coming.
Let's see what happens.
What up, though, ladies? All right, finally, it happened. It was finals. It was right in front of you.
Ridiculous!
You guys should have knew it, but I guess you didn't. But this episode, we get the king. We get Richard. Richard Cohn is finally on Felicity. Richard is one of my favorite characters.
Oh, no.
He's so funny. He's just...
No.
You're unfit to be an RA, Noel. You're just unfit. Don't give me the Clinton excuse. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. Just a great episode. I just wanted to talk about Richard. I'm like, I can't believe other people like Richard. Is this who Linda was talking about? Are we the same person? I don't know. It's crazy. Just good stuff. I love Noel on the smart powder, funny stuff. I just can't wait to hear you guys talk about it. Hi, librarian. And until next week, ladies. Peace.
Hi, DBK.
I am so sorry, DBK. I hope Richard improves, but like, you have to admit that using a barbecue grill indoors with a charcoal barbecue grill indoors in a dorm is unhinged.
But you can't say he's not funny.
Oh, I gave him the shout out for the Clinton line. I thought that was so funny. And I especially loved when he stood up in the quiet room and is like, you are unfit to be an RA.
Yeah.
That was great.
So I think like if you removed or like changed what the transgression was, I think you would have loved Richard in this episode because there's lots of really funny Richard lines. I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, you know, not the smartest thing in the world, but it didn't affect my enjoyment of Richard as a character, so.
Yeah. So that's all the feedback we have. Of course, if you want to send any in, shit90spod.com is where you can leave us a voicemail. We have a Gmail, shit90spod@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. We love getting feedback. It's so much fun. Sarah, do you want to know? Oh, we have to. Sorry, before I do this, because I don't want to forget again, we never awarded a winner last episode for Thanksgiving. And then obviously we also have to award a winner for this episode finally. So,
yeah.
I was toying with the idea. I mean, we can't give it to Hannah. Like, she's not going to be around. That feels like a waste of a point.
Yeah. So then you're going to have to just like give it to the person that's closest to Hannah, which is Noel.
No, right? No.
Oh, okay.
He cheated on his girlfriend. Absolutely not. Okay. He's not getting a point for me.
I was going to say it's Ben because Ben, I feel like, got a big win on Felicity hooking up with Noel and getting her out of his hair.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, it'd also be a little bit of a sympathy point because his parents do ditch him for the holidays.
Yeah.
My other option was Felicity because I thought she did a really nice thing in staying back for Julie. But also we all know that she had like ulterior motives there. So it's a little tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she did kiss Noel back after he kissed the first time,
knowing
he had a girlfriend. So
you know what? Screw them. Ben's going to get the point this episode. Okay. So for this episode, finally... I think we have some options here. I mean, Elena is a queen. We love a study system.
Yes. I like how she was serious about her schoolwork. I like that Noel got some like happy powder And
he got some kissies in. I thought he gave a nice little speech. Even though he did blow up at Felicity, I thought he recovered quite well from that.
I think I'm giving it to Richard.
Absolutely not.
I think that we get to put in our own votes, Jessica.
I've only been counting 1 point per episode.
Oh, we've had to agree?
Yes, we've been in agreement this entire time.
Okay. Well, I think you have no idea that
we've been agreeing for the past 9 episodes.
You pick somebody, and then I pick Richard, and then Todd will choose.
Okay, that's tiebreaker. Fine, I pick Elena.
Okay, Todd.
Oh, I feel like this is a trap. I feel like
it's not a trap.
I could also be swayed to pick Noel, I will say, because I thought he recovered very well.
Oh, but Noel, that's a great idea.
Where do you stand?
It was a trap. You fell into Sarah's trap. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was torn between Elena and Noel, like trying to think of who would I do. I think I'd probably go with Noel just because Noel cracked me up a lot in this episode, along with like having like the good recovery and everything. Like, I think there's lots of good Noel stuff, even though he does do a couple of things that I'm not a fan of. Elena has some good moments, but she's also a kind of like, you know, tertiary.
She's less of a player. Like that's fair. But we can give a point to Noel, but I have my eye on you, Elena. I appreciate a study system with M&Ms and a reward system. And I appreciate you offering to kick people's asses.
I appreciate Noel's big pillowy lips.
There you go. Great. So we've awarded our points for this episode. And now it is time for me to reveal, Sarah, the episode title for the next episode.
Okay.
And if finally is misleading.
Mm-hmm.
This episode title is very misleading.
What do you mean?
It is called Gimme an O.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
You got your O. Gimme an orgasm? There's no way.
That's what I'm saying. First of all, there's no way they're having sex already. Second of all, there's no way they're having orgasms already.
There's no way, even if they are having sex, Noel is giving her an orgasm.
That's what I'm saying. There's just no way that's what that means. However, I will say we also have a guest for next week.
Yeah.
And because of who the guest is, it also is making me wonder, like, do they have sex? Because I feel like this person would want to come on and talk about it.
Is it Tom?
It is Tom, our friend Tom Palmer. I don't know what's going on, but maybe I'm playing 3D chess or 4D chess, and it's like, and then he wants us to come on this episode just to get us tripped up about if there's going to be an orgasm.
You know what? The only thing I hope for is for Felicity to have an orgasm. I want everybody to have a good orgasm, really. So if that's what's our future, then I fully support it.
I'm
so kind.
That was our episode. Next week is Gimme an O. We'll see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, thank you so much for joining us for this podcast. Where can people find you if they want to hear what you have going on?
Well, thanks for having me on. I am sorry that you guys didn't get to talk to me about sex for an hour like you were going to get to, but so outside of this, you can find me over on One Indescribable Podcast, where every week Adam, TV Lindy, and I are going through some TV shows. And right now we are on season 2 of Girls 5 Eva. We also have recently started a new project over there called Previous Little Liars, where we go through every episode of season 1 of Pretty Little Liars, except we only watch the previously ons. I'm the only member of the group who's actually seen season 1 of Pretty Little Liars, so I kind of walk them through as they try to interpret things. And that's Adam and Lindy and our friend Marissa are the three who are trying to figure out what's going on while I am trying not to spoil things, which is very difficult at times, not to react to some of the really bonkers things that they say.
It's honestly been my favorite thing to listen to the last couple of week. Well, it's been a month or so, because I've been listening through like only Adam's perspective. So it's really nice hearing everybody else's, but I think it's just like a brilliant concept. And I also think that Pretty Little Liars is the perfect show to do this sort of concept of only watching previously ons with. So highly enjoyable. I really love it. And if people didn't know, like Pretty Little Liars is like, I think it's my favorite book series that I ever read. And I was a prisoner to that show. Every time I thought that I was done, they reeled me back in. I was there through the trenches for like 8 seasons. They couldn't get rid of me. So brilliant work. I really, really love it. So yeah, I'm probably going to listen to an episode of it in, you know, while I put away laundry tonight.
Well, thank you. One of my favorite things while recording is occasionally I'll get an instant message from Sarah, having heard Adam's side of the conversation, being like, I can't wait till they find out about X or Y.
No, it's A, Todd. It's A on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
That podcast is really fun, though, I will say, because it's like a little bite-sized morsel, because they're usually pretty short, around like 45 minutes or under. And it's just very silly. It's like very silly fun of like, let's see if we can guess what's going to happen, you know? Yeah. So
it's just a little sweet treat. Truly.
Yes, just a little sweet treat. You can find me at the Just Sterling on Twitter. You can find Sarah at Sarah Ferguson. But of course, you can find us here at Shit 90s Pod covering Felicity, which comes out on Mondays, and Buffy, which comes out on Thursdays. We're really enjoying our Buffy run that we're on currently as well. And then, of course, it's Jam in January. So Empire Records already came out. And That Thing You Do will come out later this month. And then everybody gear up for Rom-Com Feb, because you know we don't even have to. We can't even spoil it, because you all know it's Rom-Com Feb, baby.
Rom-Com Feb. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take off this year.
I think it will. It could. You never know. But that's all we have for you. So we'll be back next week with Gimme an O. Until then, everyone, have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.